Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. In this series, we will be talking with organizers, troublemakers, and thinkers who are working both to challenge the Trump administration and the circumstances that created it. It can be easy to despair, to feel like trends toward inequality are impossible to stop, to give in to fear over increased racist, sexist, and xenophobic violence. But around the country, people are doing the hard work of fighting back, coming together to plan for what comes next. This series will introduce you to some of them. Today's episode comes to you in two parts. In part one, you hear from a worker who went on strike on Friday, January 20th against low wages and Donald Trump. And this interview was conducted through a translator.
Bueno, mi nombre es Luciano Valbuena y trabajo limpiando la tienda de la Home Depot y trabajo para la compañía La Quinco.
My name is Luciano.
Soy miembro de CETUL.
My name is Luciano Valbuena. I work cleaning a Home Depot store for the company called Kimco, and I'm a member of CETUL, C-T-U-L.
Yeah. And what is Kimco?
¿Y qué es Kimco?
Kimco es la compañía que trabajamos para ellas. Ellos nos pagan pues lo que la limpieza que hacemos.
He said, Kimco is the company that hires us to do the cleaning in Home Depot stores. The contractor.
Right. So what is going on tomorrow? Tell us about the strike.
¿Qué va a pasar mañana, Luciano?
Mañana, pues vamos a hacer una huelga para, pues ahora sí que, para hacer una como protesta por nuestro salario, que pues, estamos con un salario de pobreza, y esperemos que con esta manifestación que se haga, esperemos que pues la compañía se preste a dialogar con nosotros.
And so tomorrow there's going to be a strike and a big protest, and principally fighting over the issues of them paying us poverty wages, and we hope by having the protest that we are able to get in dialogue with the company.
So what is the role of Home Depot in this relationship?
¿Y qué es el papel de la tienda Home Depot en esta relación laboral?
Pues Home Depot, nosotros le trabajamos haciendo la limpieza en general toda su tienda.
Yeah, and so first, our work is cleaning every, the company has a contract to clean every Home Depot store.
What does the whole thing have to do with Donald Trump and the inauguration that's also happening tomorrow?
¿Y cómo eso toca el tema de la juramentación de Donald Trump mañana?
Bueno, pues lo que nos quiera decir que no es justo que esté de acuerdo con lo que nos están pagando a nosotros como trabajadores, que le estamos trabajando a la compañía Kimco, que pues es un salario muy bajo, y entonces es posible que no, pues, que vea ese tipo de problema, y esperemos que ya con esto, pues, lo valorice y nos valorice nuestro trabajo y que nos haga un salario justo.
Y de específicamente de por qué estamos haciendo el día de Donald Trump.
Pues que es una persona muy, ahora sí que muy, muy muy racista para nosotros, como nosotros como trabajadores estamos ilegales, que no le gusta a él ese tipo de personas que somos nosotros.
Principally it's company pays very low wages, we're trying to put a stop to the poverty wages, and Donald Trump, he supports these low wages, and he supported and he said that he doesn't think workers deserve better wages, and he's the person that's very racist against Latino workers, and so for all of these reasons, that's why we're coming together tomorrow.
So can you talk a little bit more about the organizing at the Home Depot and how long this has been going on?
¿Puedes hablar un poco de por cuánto tiempo hemos ido organizando con trabajadores que limpian Home Depot?
Pues yo...
¿Y hablas tú de qué has hecho tú y los demás por los años?
Bueno, pues yo he andado estos movimientos como más de 4 o 6 años y haciendo protestas y manifestaciones, yendo a, por ejemplo, a frente a los jefes de Kohl's, haciendo esa protesta por nuestro salario, que exija a los contratistas para que nos paguen un mejor salario, ¿verdad?
Mm-hmm.
Y entonces por eso es lo que estamos haciendo.
So this struggle's been going on for like 4, 5, 6 years that he's been involved, and you know, we've had several strikes, many protests. He's actually gone to the Kohl's shareholder meetings. Kohl's is the other big contract of Kimco. And talked, you know, and spoken directly to the CEO of Kohl's about this. And it's all just been over these issues of low pay and wanting to make things better at work.
And what else should people around the country know about this strike and about the conditions of Latino workers in general?
Los demás en el país entender acerca de las condiciones en este trabajo y también acerca de trabajadores latinos en general.
Pues yo pienso que en ese estado pues deberían de reconocer, ¿verdad?, todo nuestro esfuerzo, que nosotros seamos latinos o de aquí, pues, o X parte de las naciones. Nosotros venimos aquí a trabajar y a esforzarnos mucho en todo lo que podemos del trabajo, ¿verdad? Y también que nos tomen en cuenta nuestro trabajo, nuestra labor que hacemos, pues, en todo el tipo de los trabajos que hay acá, por ejemplo, en la limpieza, que nosotros dedicamos a eso.
Yeah, he's like, people just need to understand that, you know, whether it's Latinos or whoever else, people come here to work and we work really hard. Whether it's in cleaning or any other kind of job, that, you know, we're putting in a huge amount of work, at these companies, and we want to make sure that we're treated fairly for doing so. But he's only gotten raises when the minimum wage has gone up. He's been at the company for years.
Thank
Luciano,
you.
¿Puedes hablar un poco de los aumentos que has recibido por los años?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, pues eso tal vez va a causar risa, ¿verdad? O quizás hasta se van a burlar de mi salario, porque en el transcurso de que llevo, pues, con esta compañía, llevo 8 años, y haciendo cuentas me están pagando como 12 centavos por año. Y yo creo que eso no es justo, ¿ah?
Well, y también solamente has recibido aumentos cuando has subido el salario mínimo, ¿verdad?
Sí, nada más eso.
Ya. Yeah. So he was saying, yeah, my wage is probably going to make some people laugh. I've been working for 8 years, my wage has only gone up when there's been a change in the minimum wage law.
That's pretty much it, unless, again, you think there's anything else we've missed.
¿Hay algo que quieres agregar o eso es todo, Luciano?
Pues yo más quisiera, pues, agregar, y ojalá que con esta persona que estamos hablando nuestros problemas que estamos pasando aquí en el trabajo, ya por medio de ella, que nos exponiéndole nuestras necesidades de la compañía esa, para que tengamos buenos beneficios también, porque de esa compañía no tenemos nada de beneficios, y yo creo que sí, somos humanos, y yo creo que sí lo necesitamos.
So he was saying, yeah, just the one final thing I'd like to add is just I hope that the reporter just emphasizes, you know, I mean, there's no benefits at this job either, and we're all human beings, and, you know, these are just the basic things that we're fighting to win here.
And in part 2 of today's interview, we hear from Veronica Mendez-Moore, who is the executive director of the organization that pulled off the strike on Friday.
My name is Veronica Mendez-Moore. I'm the executive director of FITUL.
You are, FITUL is organizing a strike that starts on Donald Trump's inauguration day. Can you tell us a little bit more about that campaign and why strike against Trump?
Yeah, so this is a campaign that's been going on for about 6 years. And earlier this year, we celebrated a tremendous victory of workers that clean Target stores, Best Buy, Macy's stores actually won a union and now have a voice on the job and are able to obtain and start bargaining their first contract. So that was a tremendous leap forward. It's the first major metropolitan area in the country where that industry is union. So that's extremely exciting. And at the same time, there's still one major company that is left out of that because they have refused to talk to us. They have refused to engage at all with workers. And this is a company that cleans Home Depot. And the company is called Kimco. So we've been organizing with these workers and are going to continue organizing with them so that they can have a voice on the job. And tomorrow, as we know, Trump has an agenda that is very anti-worker, anti-immigrant, anti-woman, anti-most of our community. And we think it's critical that we stand up and resist that we resist his agenda of hate and his agenda of division. And so tomorrow many people will be joining us on the picket line, and workers at Clean Home Depot, which is owned by people who are significant Trump supporters financially and just publicly supporters, we are going to strike against poverty wages and against Trump's agenda. And that's the agenda that, is likely to take away many of the rights that workers have been fighting for years.
So talk about, first of all, why it's important for Latino workers, immigrant workers, undocumented workers to take part in a strike like this against Donald Trump.
I mean, I think it's important for all workers to resist. I mean, even before Trump, we have seen corporations have, massive skyrocketing profits while workers are getting paid less, while they're getting hours shaved off their checks, while they're being asked to do more in the same amount of time, and it's only going to get worse. So I don't see any other path but to stand up and resist. And so all workers need to stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore, and we're going to strike right now before you start to attempt to implement any of your new agenda.
Right. And so talk about the particular, the power of the strike and what role that plays and what role that you think will play going forward in resisting that agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be critical. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen more and more workers standing up and getting past that fear to take action to improve their lives and their communities. We look at the Fight for 15 and fast food workers that have been organizing, which we are also part of that national campaign. We look at the retail janitors here. We look at workers in many industries across the country in retail that are all starting to stand up. And like, this is, that's the engine of our economy. And if workers don't work, our economy doesn't work, our communities don't work, and things begin to break down for the corporations. And so I think this strike is just such a critical tool because it really is a tremendous amount of power that workers have. And it is the bosses spend hours and hours coming up with strategies to teach workers that their voice doesn't matter and that they have no power and that they just need to follow the rules and listen to the boss. And so our job is critical, is to help people understand how much power they actually have and that the strike is the most powerful tool they have to be able to use their voice and their power.
Let's backtrack a little bit and talk a little bit more about the organizing that you've been doing with these subcontracting companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, explain that for people who are not familiar with the way that works and the role the sort of big companies, the Targets and the Home Depots and stuff play in this whole economy.
Right. So, many decades ago, workers that cleaned a store like Target or Home Depot were actually employed in-house. And so if you look at, supermarkets that are primarily union, that meant that the cleaning workers were union. And then, some maybe 30, 40 years ago, that changed, and they began to subcontract out the work. And they did that because it's less responsibility, and at the end of the day, it's cheaper. So they subcontracted out the work to many different companies. And so what we saw when we started taking on this industry was, you have one big retail store, and they've got 25 different smaller contractors that are vying for the contract with that store. And so what do? They underbid each other. And when you've got 25 cleaning subcontractors underbidding each other, it's a race to the bottom. And so we saw that, about 15 years ago, workers who were working in retail janitorials were making about $10, $11 an hour, and there were about four or five workers cleaning a store. And then you fast forward after all of this race to the bottom to about 5 years ago, and workers were making $7.25, and there's two or three workers cleaning the store. So the, right. you know, the wages have gone down, the workload has doubled. And so
right.
that's when we got engaged in the campaign. And it's just a very clear who holds the power in this situation. The contractors do not hold the power. And we need to look to the retailers to play a leadership role if we're going to change the industry. And that's when we, you know, through our work and workers striking and organizing and seeking dialogue, we were able to engage Target and develop a responsible contractor policy that Target then implemented it, which got workers on a path so they could join a union.
Yeah. And so obviously one of the things, one of the sort of powers that we've seen work in recent months and years is sort of targeting the reputation of these big brands. We saw this around, you know, pressuring the big brands around HB2 in North Carolina, and the work that you guys do leverages that in a sort of different way. But what kind of lessons are there from that to think about, stopping the most hellacious things that the Trump administration can push for? Is there a way to leverage power against these corporations to then in turn have them pressure the federal government?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, it really comes down to building a base of workers that are ready to stand up and telling the truth. Because all of the companies that have, you know, images that they want to protect, the image they're trying to protect is an image of goodness. It's an image of being an asset to communities. It's an image of being a good, you know, a good place to go shop or, you know, whatever their business is. So that's the image they want. And there is so much truth to tell underneath that about how that's not what they actually are. And all of the ways that workers are getting squeezed and squeezed more and more every year. And so I think like what we've learned is that this is, it's about telling the truth and building, and like I said, building a base of workers that is willing to stand up to the repression that happens when workers start telling the truth.
And so to wrap up, in particular, since you've done a lot of work around the 5 for 15, Trump's mm-hmm. labor secretary nominee is literally
yep.
a fast food CEO.
Yeah.
So what has been the response of the workers that you work with to that nomination, and what's the sort of, what does that look like going forward? Thinking about
yeah, I mean, it's a horrifying prospect to think that somebody who we know in their own business, there's a significant amount of wage theft and all kinds of other problems in the industry or within their company, that's the person that could be in charge of making sure that workers have rights on the job is a horrifying prospect. And, you know, us and many other different organizations around the country have been digging into that and really like identifying some of the problems that exist in those stores and want to highlight that to make sure that the truth is told. So workers that work at Hardee's stores, at Carl's Jr. stores across the country are going to be taking action turning in to the Department of Labor all of the violations that are being found in the store around wage theft and sexual harassment, around retaliation for workers organizing. Because there's just so many problems happening just within his company. To imagine him having that position is just absurd.
Anything else that you want people to know about the work that Sutul is doing, the organizing that workers are doing around the country to resist this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just think we need to, we've had a lot of really important victories that are like, you know, moving things forward nationally and on the cutting edge, but there's so much more work to do. And what the future holds for us here at Sutul is just really looking to how do we not just organize a group of workers here and a group of workers there, but how do we actually start organizing and restructuring our economy such that workers can actually be in dialogue with the people who control our economy, with the 1% of Minnesota, of Minneapolis, of the country, who actually are the ones who right now have all of the power. That's the real question, and that's what we're going to make strides toward over this next year.
Excellent. And where can people find more information on CTUL?
They can find us at ctul.net CTUL on Facebook as well.
Thank you for listening. Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Fulibois and support from the Nation Institute. Thanks to all of our partner publications, The Baffler, The Progressive, Truth Out in These Times. You can find out more on the web at necessarytrouble.org and reach me there if you'd like to become a partner publication. We will be back soon.